the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Well, this is the new year, and today we're going to do an update on some tax laws and 401k rule changes that all of you will need to know as we're looking forward into 2022. Jim, where do things start off in terms of the biggest changes that you're looking at for taxes?
Well, Chris, we got to go back to 1981, where we were coming out of a period of double-digit inflation, which is where we are today. And the vast majority of Americans were being pushed into higher tax brackets due to inflation. So President Reagan comes in and says, we're going to index the tax brackets by inflation so people don't get put into higher brackets, just simply with inflation. So this goes back to 1981. Now, the key thing to understand here is they didn't index all tax provisions. And so I'm going to give you a couple examples of what did not get indexed. In 1997, there was a change on capital gains on your personal residence. It used to be that if you owned a home, let's say you bought a house for $500,000, it's now worth $750,000. Under the old rules prior to 1997, if you bought a house that was equal in value or more expensive, you could roll your basis over into the new house. Well, President Clinton changed that, and he said, what we're going to do is we're going to give you $500,000 of capital gains that you could take and pay no tax on the sale of your home if you're married. If you're single, you can have $250,000 worth of capital gains without paying a tax. The problem is, Chris, that went into effect in 1997. So they have not adjusted those numbers for 25 years. And just take a look at the cost of real estate. I mean, here in California, I mean, if you're a homeowner, you're probably a millionaire. So they haven't adjusted the capital gains allowance on homes. Another thing that they were looking at inflation, and if they were to adjust those numbers for inflation, that number today would be over $800,000 for married and over $400,000 if you were single. Something else they have not adjusted is the $3,000 capital loss of which you can deduct against your income. So if you have large capital losses and you don't have the capital gains to use as an offset, you can take $3,000 of your capital loss, use it against your income, and what is unused, you can carry forward. Well, Chris, that $3,000 figure hasn't been adjusted for, what, three or four decades now. There's another one they don't adjust. With Obamacare, when it was passed in 2010, they added a surcharge of 3.8% on additional income taxes and also on dividends and capital gains. So the top capital gains rate right now is 20%, but based on your income, you could pay an additional 3.8%, and likewise, the top tax bracket is 37%, but you could pay an additional 3.8% based on your income. And those two figures are $200,000 if you're single and $250,000 if you're married. So they haven't adjusted that number in 12 years now. Another one that goes back to, gosh, this goes back to the 80s and the 90s. Beginning in the 80s, they began to tax up to 50% of your Social Security. Then in 1994, Bill Clinton raised that to 85% of your Social Security. And the numbers of which you start paying tax on Social Security are $44,000 if you're married and $34,000 if you're single. So you can see more and more seniors are paying tax on their Social Security because of inflation. So, I mean, if they were to adjust those numbers, Chris, for inflation, it would be over $80,000 for a married couple and $62,000 for a single. So even though they do adjust the certain provisions of the tax code, there are many things that affect most Americans that they aren't adjusting for inflation. And that is the additional tax that could be on capital gains and dividends, the capital gains on the sale of a house, the taxation of Social Security, The $3,000 capital losses are just a matter of what they haven't adjusted. And that's hitting a lot more people, especially, I would say, on the real estate market. So let's take a look at what is happening to the tax rates this year. So if you are single, you are in a 10% tax bracket up until $10,276 of income. That's $20,551 if you are married. Then the 22% bracket begins on income over $41,776, $83,551 if you're married. The 24% bracket begins at $89,000 if you're single, $178,000 if you're married. And then there's a big jump. It goes from 24% to 32%. That starts at $170,000 if you're single and $340,000 if you are married. I'm rounding some of these numbers off. The 35% bracket begins at roughly $216,000 if you're single, $431,000, almost $432,000 if you're married. And then finally, the top tax bracket, which is 37%, begins at $540,000. If you're single, $648,000 if you're married. Now, a couple other things that they're adjusting is the tax on capital gains and dividends. If you are single, you're in a zero bracket for capital gains and dividends up to $41,675. That's $83,350 if you're married. The 15% bracket on capital gains runs from $41,676 to $460,000 if you're single. That number is $83,000 to $517 if you're married. And then the 20% tax bracket kicks in at roughly about $460,000 if you're single, $517,000 if you're married. Now, bear in mind, in addition to those capital gains tax brackets on capital gains and dividends, you also have to add in the Obama tax of 3.8% if you're single making $200,000 or more, or married making $250,000. So just add another 3.8. Now, for those of you that don't itemize, the standard deduction rises to $12,950 if you're single and $25,900 if you are married. Some bad news, if you are working and paying Social Security taxes, they use a special inflation rate for that. The base of which you will have to pay Social Security taxes, that's Social Security and Medicare, is $147,000. You'll pay 7.65% on income up to that. If you are self-employed, double that to 15.35%. Good news on the estate front. The Build Back Bad bill never got passed, so they were going to reduce the estate tax exemption down to roughly in the $5 million range. That did not go through. So this year, you can pass $12,060,000 without any estate taxes. Multiply that times two if you're married, so roughly about $24 million. The annual gift tax exclusion. It used to be $15,000 that you could give away without paying any gift tax. That was bumped up to $16,000. So some good news there. Now, on traditional contributions to a regular IRA or a Roth IRA, they left that flat. It's $6,000, an extra $1,000 if you're 50 and over. If you are contributing to a 401k plan, you can contribute up to $20,500 this year. That's up from $19,500 last year, so it went up another $1,000. If you're over 50, you can add $6,500. So roughly, Chris, you can contribute $27,000 into a 401k plan. If you are a solo 401k or you have a SEP IRA, that figure is $61,000. That you can contribute and add another $6,500 for age 50 and older.
So, Jim, it sounds like there's some good news, at least that they're indexing those brackets a little bit higher to reflect inflation. Like you said, you know, many of these go back to 1981, which is not good if you're trying to count for capital losses and many of the other things that you covered. So this is an incremental move in the right direction, but there's still a long way to go, perhaps.
Yeah, and this is going to affect a lot of Americans, Chris, as they head into retirement. So let's say you live in a high-tax state like New York, New Jersey, or California, and your house is appreciated tremendously. You know, maybe you bought a house 20, 30 years ago, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, my house is worth X amount of dollars, and you're thinking of selling. Just remember, you sell, and if your gains are over $500,000, if you're married, you're going to owe taxes on the sale of your home. And also, if you're single, $250,000. On top of that, you're probably more likely going to pay taxes on your Social Security because they haven't indexed that in, gosh, it's got to be at least 3 or 4 decades. So that's going to catch more and more Americans that are going to be paying taxes on their home, on the sale of their home, and they're going to be paying taxes on their Social Security when they head into retirement. And the other thing I like to point out is they use different inflation rates. Like they'll use one inflation rate that's artificially altered for increasing Social Security benefits. They'll use a lower inflation rate for increasing the tax brackets. But then if you look at the Social Security tax base on which Social Security taxes are paid, that base is going up at a higher inflation rate. So they really are trying to manipulate this to get the maximum tax out of individuals. So not everything is equal when you look at this. I guess if there was any good news, the fact is they are indexing part of the tax bracket. So at least you're getting a little bit of relief, but not as much as you should.
Well, and as we discussed before, Jim, there's a pretty good reason for why they would be doing that as well, to try to minimize the amount of payouts. Because when is it that Social Security is supposed to run out of funds? Is it around 2030 or so?
Is 2033, if nothing has changed, they would have to reduce Social Security benefits by 25%. And then I think with Medicare gets into trouble after 2026, which is insane that they want to expand Medicare, offer it to more people, lower the ages when the system is in danger of going broke. So they're playing around with this, Chris. But they're going to have to do something with Social Security because it's going to get into trouble in the next decade.
So, Jim, can you tell us about some of the recent changes or upcoming changes to the 401k laws? Again, we discussed in depth all the different things that we're doing here at Financial Sense Wealth Management for clients, given our long-term outlook for increasing inflation, increasing taxes, and the implementation of financial repression, which is keeping interest rates lower than the rate of inflation to erode the value of outstanding debts. That's a policy that has been implemented in the past, and it is going to be implemented again. And so there's some very key assumptions that need to be used in the retirement planning, in the financial planning process. And this also changes the way you invest and how you plan for the future. 401ks, Roths were two subjects that we had discussed in depth in our last show. So explain some of the most recent rule changes along these lines that our listeners need to be aware of.
You know, probably the biggest change, Chris, coming to 401k plans is offering participants an annuity option when they retire. Now, annuities have developed a bad reputation. They're complex, they're pricey, and sold by a lot of hucksters rather than integrated into a comprehensive financial plan. But, you know, basically, if you look at our parents that used to work for a company 30, 40 years, you got a pension when you retired. And that pension was something called the defined benefit pension plan. Government workers, teachers still get these, where you get X percent of your salary based on the years of service. It was called a defined benefit. Basically, what happened back then is companies would put money aside for employees. It would go into a pot. So when you got to retirement, there would be a pot of money in your name, and they would go to an insurance company saying, based on your life or that of your spouse, how much will you give this person for the rest of their life? That was what a defined benefit plan was. Now, with interest rates being so low and the stock markets being volatile and unpredictable, they're adding annuity options back to 401ks. In fact, one of the most popular forms of planning in 401k plans is using something like a target date fund. Now, if you're not familiar with the target date fund, let's say I'm going to retire in 20 years. So you would get a plan, a target fund that matures in 20 years. And what the portfolio manager will do in a 20-year target fund is the years wear off, more and more of the fund goes into fixed income, less into equities, making it safer so that when you retire, you have a predictable amount of money. And what is real popular now is to take a target fund. Let's say you just put money in a target fund when you're saving for retirement. And then when you retire, you basically convert it to an annuity where basically you get roughly about 5% of that amount for the rest of your life and that of your spouse. They're also doing something called a QLAC, which is a qualified longevity annuity contract. It begins paying income when the participants turn 80. And what happens is it offers almost three times the amount of monthly income. But once again, it's not going to start until you're 80. So participants can invest up to 25% of their assets or less. And, you know, for an example, on a $100,000 investment, that would produce an income of anywhere from $1,000 to $1,400 a month when they hit the age 80. So this is another popular item that they're adding to 401ks. Another item is pooled employer funds, where let's say you don't have the money, you're a small employer, you don't want to spend the money to set up a 401k. You can pull, or what they call pooled employer plans, which are centrally administered that can be joined by multiple unrelated employers. So it's a way for smaller employers to set up a 401k plan without all the big expenses. Another provision that they're adding is the addition of ESG funds in the 401k lineup. So a lot of people are wanting to invest green, look at environmental, social, and governance issues. So they're adding ESG funds to the 401k plan. Now, this has not passed, but it would be a negative. In the administration's Build Back Bad plan, they would go against what we call backdoor Roths. Because a person can make a certain amount of income, when you make over 140 grand, you can't contribute to a Roth IRA, which allows tax-free withdrawals in retirement. Now, the way you can get around that, which we have been doing for quite a few of our clients, is basically you can convert after-tax income to an IRA and then convert that IRA to a Roth IRA. Now, you'd pay tax on the conversion, but it was a way to get around it. The same thing, you could do that with after-tax contributions in 401k plans and then convert that to a Roth. They would do away with that beginning this year in 2022. And a lot of this was introduced in May of last year. It was dubbed the Secure Act 2.0. It would gradually, now here's some good news, it would increase the age when 401k and IRA distributions would have to be made. Now, they did that with the first Secure Act, which was passed in 2017. It used to be you would have to take mandatory distributions at age 70 and a half. If you didn't take it in the year that you turned 70 and a half, you would have to take twice the amount in the following year. Well, they got rid of all that, and they said it all begins now at age 72. If this bill is passed, they would raise the minimum distribution age from age 72 to age 75. So you could have more years in which you don't have to take distributions from your IRA, and you could allow that to accumulate. Some good news there. About the only negative news, Chris, is going against backdoor Roths, which basically they don't want anybody that makes money to have a Roth. They don't like the idea. If you know, if you're Larry Lots of Bucks or Manny middle class, if you have a Roth and are getting tax-free income. So that was about the only negative. But once again, that hasn't passed yet. And it's questionable of whether it is going to get passed, given the fact that Manchin and Sinema say they have no intention of negotiating or talking about Build Back Bad. Basically, it's a dead issue. And once again, this is a congressional election year. So a lot of some of these Democrats that are in red states may not want to go along with tax increases. So those are the provisions that we are going to be dealing with, some changes to 401ks, changes to the tax brackets, the standard deduction, the estate deduction, the gift tax exclusion. So a lot of good stuff to help out with the inflation. I just wish they would index them by the true rate of inflation, which is probably double digits.
So Jim, again, the thing that we've been discussing with our clients and listeners here on Financial Sense NewsHour is about rethinking the financial plan around an environment where you should expect taxes and inflation to be going up for the long term, especially for high income, high net worth clients, and also in an environment where we're seeing the heavy implementation of financial repression. And as you discussed briefly a little bit at the beginning of today's show, you know, not all of these inflation adjustments that they're making in re-indexing things are equal. Do you mind going into some of the differences that we see and how this is going to impact people differently based on the specifics of their situation?
Sure. I mean, when it comes to increasing Social Security benefits or increasing the income tax brackets, they use a lower CPI that they configure. But when it comes to increasing the Social Security tax base on which you pay Social Security on, they use a different figure. And also when it comes to deductions, I mean, you take a look at, for example, you used to be able to deduct a mortgage up to $1 million plus $100,000 for a second mortgage. Well, Trump changed that. You know, that was a terrible bill where they got rid of the state tax deductions. The property tax deductions got capped at $10,000. So a lot of those things they put in, but now you can only deduct interest on a mortgage up to $750,000. There is no second mortgage of $100,000 that you're able to deduct. So they've actually, as real estate prices have gone up, they've lowered the amount of mortgage interest that you can deduct against that. And as I mentioned, they got rid of, you know, they capped property taxes at $10,000. And a lot of people will say, well, if you're in the Midwest, that's a lot of money. Well, if you're in California, where the average house is over $1 million, you know, where tax rates are as high as 2%, depending on the locale that you live in, or if you have something called Miller Rus, which is another way to add more property taxes to your home, you know, 2% on $1 million, $2 million home, you can see why a lot of people are basically getting hit with higher taxes because you can't deduct your state taxes, which is really important in a state like California. It has a 13.3% tax rate, and they're talking about increasing tax rates even further, payroll taxes and income taxes to pay for socialized medicine in California. We'd probably be the first state to have that if it gets passed. So they use different methods to obviously increase the amount of taxes they extract. And so you got to watch this. And the other thing that's going to hit, Chris, on the inflation front, because we've been talking about that, is the labor markets. And that was one of the big drivers of inflation in the 70s. I can remember when I got out of graduate school and corporate life, I was working for a corporation, and President Carter asked employers to limit the pay increases to 7%. At a time, the inflation rate was running at 14.8%. So we're seeing that now. Last month, 4.5 million people quit their jobs. We have 12.5 million job openings. The unemployment rate is down to 3.9%. And one of the big criticisms is that the Fed has gotten behind the eight ball when it comes to inflation, thinking it was going to be transitory when it looks like it's going to be longer run. So one of the key things we'd like to get across here is if you are saving, you're just starting out, you're starting out with a financial plan, three things you're going to be dealing with: taxes, inflation, and financial repression, where you keep the rate of interest below the inflation rate. And the best example I can give you, even though 10-year treasuries have been moving up, which has been shaking the market, the official inflation rate is 6.8, and the 10-year treasury is 1.8. So you're getting 5 full percentage points on your treasuries below the inflation rate, and that's before paying federal taxes. So three items you're going to be dealing with. And that's why it's more important to plan now than ever, because obviously the less you pay in taxes, the more that you can defer, and the more that you can set yourself up to profit from inflation, the better you're off. Because if you were invested in the markets, you've benefited from the Fed's inflation. If you own a home, you've benefited from that inflation. But just bear in mind now, if you do have huge gains in your house, you might be subject to capital gains tax because they haven't indexed those figures going back to 1997.
And when it comes to some of these different changes that we discussed today on the tax side of things or with some of the more recent 401k rule changes, depending on your particular situation, some of these may benefit you and some of these may actually hurt you. So again, that's why it's really important to meet with a financial planner, with a retirement planner, to make sure that you are situated in a way where you're not going to get hurt by some of these changes, or at least find ways to mitigate their impact. So give our wealth advisors at Financial Sense Wealth Management a call. They can speak with you and will be happy to work through the particulars of your situation and answer any questions that you may have on what we discussed today. Our number here is 888, that's 888-486-3939. Or you can also go to our website, financialsense.com, and click where it says contact us.
In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Sheridan and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Planning. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.